Welcome to this week's edition of the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Pastor Peter Nordier. For decades, Pastor Nordier shared the burden of his heart for the lost, preaching the message of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling the world that the cross couldn't hold him, the grave couldn't keep him, hell had no room for him, and that he is coming back soon. Please stay tuned following this broadcast for how you can become a faith partner of this ministry and continue to help us share these timely messages to a new generation of believers. And now, here is the late Pastor Peter Nordier.
This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you. And now we ask, if you will, you bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that thou art still in the business of calling thy sheep from where they are, over there on the hills and valleys and in the crooks and wherever they may be located, and that thou art busy searching them out and bringing them back into the fold, as you said that thou wouldst do. We praise thee and thank thee, our God, for the privilege we have of knowing thee, and we praise thee that the door of salvation is still open, and that whosoever will may come. But, O our God, we know that they'll not come unless thou dost draw them with a special unction from thee and a special drawing from thee. And so we pray, O Spirit of God that thou art, it is thy sphere to search out and find the elect of God, wherever they may be. And we ask thee, be pleased to use the broadcast as a medium of thine to bring individuals unto thyself. How we thank thee, Lord, that thou art God, and that thou dost know wherever they are, and, Lord, thou dost know when they're going to come and under what circumstances thou shalt draw them. All we praise thee that all those that have been given to Christ shall come eventually to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and not one of them will be lost. How great and good thou art, our God, in thy marvelous eternal plan of redemption, and how we praise thee that we have just a small part in it. We ask thy blessing upon those that listen at this hour. Thou dost know their needs, and we lift them to thee because some are downhearted, some are discouraged, some, Lord, are incarcerated in the prisons, and we pray especially for those that listen to us in the prisons at this hour. Oh, bless them, Lord, and them, and enable them to stand for thee in the midst of that degradation and depravity that they are living in. We pray, our God, that thou wilt especially watch over them and enable them, Lord, to be a witness for thee in that place that thou hast put them for the time being. Then we pray for those that are sick and afflicted. Watch over them, Lord, as only thou art able. And, Lord, raise them back to health as it please thee. But most of all, get glory to thy name in this broadcast, and we'll just praise thee and thank thee forever and ever. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast. This is Pastor Peter Nortier. Some of you pronounce my name Nortier. Some of you pronounce it Nortier. Either pronunciation is correct, so use it whichever one you will. But we're delighted to come into your home at this hour by the means of radio. We trust you've tuned in for a blessing, and we want you, if you can, get your Bible down and be ready to follow in a few moments in the Word of God as we'll bring you a Bible message. Now, perhaps you can't do that. Maybe you're driving down the highway, but if you are, just keep driving, and we hope that you'll be able to continue to listen until the broadcast is over with. Then we want you to do these three things for us, if you will. Number one, if you're on praying ground, we want you to pray for the broadcast as never before. Ask the Lord to use it. And ask the Lord also to supply the needs, because we have many of them. You know, we don't beg for money, we beg the Lord. And we know he lays it on the hearts of God's people to help support the broadcast. So if you're being fed by it, and if you're encouraged by it, we hope that the Lord lay it on your heart to help maintain the broadcast in your area. Now, for you to do that, and to write, you must write us a letter. And so we want you to drop us a letter or a card this week. Then do the third, if you will. Pray for us, drop us a letter or a card, and then you tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Even now, pick up the telephone, if you will. Call them and give them the call letters of the station to which you're listening, because we are on many radio stations. And so these are the three things we want you to do. And we ask also that you'll pray for our country, because we stand in a dire need of a great awakening. Oh, that the Lord God in heaven would just give a great awakening across America, as he did back yonder in the days of Jonathan Edwards. You pray with us about it, and then we'll wait and trust the Lord for it. Pray for those in authority over us, and ask the Lord God of heaven to make them conscious, I should say, of the tremendous responsibility that rests upon them, and that we'll all give an account unto the Lord God of heaven for what we've done. But remember the broadcast. We'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us.
All right, take your Bibles now and go back with me again, if you will, to the ninth chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to look at verses 1 through 11. And our subject this morning, the preaching that is needed today. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. I want you to listen. Listen like you've never listened before. And as we bring out to you what the Lord God of heaven has set forth in his blessed word, you find out whether or not we're preaching that gospel today. There's lots of gospel. And 99% of them are false. There's only one true gospel, and that's the one we have to preach. And this is the one we have to adhere to from the Word of God. And as I've said this morning, I'll say again, when our Lord did this, he sent out his 12 apostles to preach the gospel as many as possible. Now, he did it because he knew that he couldn't reach them all by himself, because, you see, even though he was God, he was limited at that time to be one place at a time. Now, he did that deliberately because he was completely man. After his resurrection, of course, he would appear to different people, but while he was here before his crucifixion, he was strictly as a man, and he only appeared at one place at a time. Yet he was God. And also, he sent out the 12 apostles to preach, and we want you to see if we're preaching the same kind of a gospel today. If we're not, we might as well close up our church and turn it into a honky-tonk. Now, there's a lot of gospels being preached today, but our gospel has to correspond with that which is found in the Word of God, just as your salvation experience has got to correspond with that which is found in the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is never wrong. You and I are. But our Lord has set forth very clearly the preaching that he expects to be done, and he's also set forth very clearly the experience that an individual has with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's set forth from Genesis to Revelation. And we find that today, that's salvation, the so-called salvation experience that the majority of people have, does not correspond with what is set forth in the Word of God, and then you can put it down. That experience is wrong. Now, Luke chapter 9, let's look at it, if you will. And if any of you are visiting here today, you're looking for a church that where we preach the gospel without apology, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to stay here. And if you don't think so, well, then you just find someplace else where you can be better satisfied. But I'm going to tell you this, you better make dead sure you're right before you leave. And I make no bones about it. We're preaching the truth of God. We don't apologize for anything in this Baptist church. And we don't have to. This is one of the few Baptist churches that dare preach the Bible as it is to men and women and boys and girls as they are. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Sent them to the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And in whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to a city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Shall we pray? Our Lord, this morning, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for everyone that you've brought this way. We recognize again the seriousness of this hour, the depravity of the human heart, the opposition of the evil one, as well as the inability of the human vessel. And so, our blessed God, we ask thee, give listening ears and attentive minds and open hearts, and then send forth thy word in might and power to these that not only need thee, but also, Lord, to every one of us that are in this building that do know thee. Edify and strengthen thy people. Glorify thyself, Lord, in all that's done. And as it please thee, will you not reach down and save someone in our midst today who doesn't know thee? We thank thee, Lord, that in every service we have, there are people in this congregation that come and they don't know thee. And our God, we cry unto thee again. Speak to their hearts and save them even before they leave this room this hour together. The glory is thine and the privilege is ours. And Lord, if there's any shame in this service, it's mine. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Our subject today, the preaching that is needed at this hour. As I said before, there's a lot of preaching that's going on today, but it isn't worth the hill of beans. I listened to some this morning, and the man told about a tear-jerking story, and when he got all through, I mean, everybody did quiet, you know, real still and quiet, and it looked like he was ready to pull the net, and so on and so forth, but I'll tell you right now, it left you empty. Not left empty. When I go to the church, to a church, and I don't have the opportunity to preach, I'll tell you right now, I listen very carefully, and I listen also critically. I don't mind the man's diction. I don't mind his mistakes in grammar. But I do mind if he doesn't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and point men and women to him. And so the Lord Jesus today, we find as we look at him, he sent out his 12 apostles. Now, don't you see, Judas Iscariot was amongst them. And Judas Iscariot preached. And Judas Iscariot cast out demons. And Judas Iscariot died and went to hell. And we better understand that. And we have a lot of preachers today that have great work, so they speak. But I'm going to tell you right now, the shallower the work is, the bigger crowd it has. But I'll tell you this, the less effective is eternity. Now, we're not a very big group here, but I'll tell you this. We love the Lord. I hope you do. Do you? Are you an old-fashioned Baptist church? Well, are we or are we not? Well, then say so. What are you ashamed of? I asked the people in Arkansas that 2 weeks ago, and I'll tell you right now, I said, you know, old-fashioned Baptist church? And just about everybody says, amen. And but you don't say very much. And when our people come and visit to us, sometimes, and they look around, and you know they're used to having people say amen. They've come to me, and they said, don't your people enjoy anything? They never say amen. But you know what I tell them? We're these old kind of stiff-headed Yankees. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, we're stiff, and we're strict, and we don't express ourselves too much, but that doesn't mean we don't enjoy it. Am I right? All right. Now I got an amen out of you, didn't I? Good. All right. Now let's look at the word of God here this morning. Our lesson falls into these two categories. First of all, God's mission to the church. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus called his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now here's the credentials given that. The Church of Christ today still has the same credential. We have power and authority over the demons. Now, preacher, wait a minute. Aren't you wrong on that? No, I'm going to show it to you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You read this morning in your Sunday school, but I want you to look at it again. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to look at verses 10 through 12. And I want you to notice this, what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, do you know that there are two classes of people in this congregation this morning that you and I can't see? You say, what do you mean? Well, there's God's angels that are here. And they're listening to what's being said. And I'll tell you something else. There's also the demons. Demons are here. They're not manifested because I don't believe we have in this congregation at this present hour an individual who's possessed by a demon. But I'll tell you what demons do. Number one, they try to throw your mind off what's being said. And they'll do it. And there'll be some people here, before I get through, you'll be going to sleep. If you didn't have a good mate sitting next to you, you'd probably snore, and if you start doing that, they punch you in the ribs, and so you wake up. And now who's behind that? All right, demons are behind that. They don't want you to hear the Word of God. They don't want you to listen. And they'll do everything and anything they can to distract your attention if it's at all possible. Now you say, preacher, do we have authority over them? We wrestle against them, don't we? But we also have authority over them. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will, and look with me at what it says. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we find again the Lord Jesus is warning God's people, and He's also warning the church, and yet it seems today that this is kind of neglecting it. But we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10, the Word of God says these words, be sober, be vigilant, be your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now what do you have here? All right, the devil as it goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now you and I are to resist him. Are you listening? The devil's stronger than we are. The devil's wiser than we are. The devil is prettier than we are. The devil is more powerful than we are. And yet, we are to resist it. It would be almost like you say, it would be like little Ben, who is the daughter of Dan and Kathy, coming up to me and saying to me, well, I'm going to whip you. Well, now, are you listening? That's not so far-fetched. That's a physical illustration, but I'll give you a spiritual truth. The devil is more powerful than any creature on the face of this earth, with the exception of God's people and God's the Holy Spirit. You say the devil isn't more powerful than we are? No, he's not, because you see, we are in Christ. And what does our Lord tell us? Our Lord tells us to be sober and to be vigilant, because the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. But now I want you to turn to the book of James, if you will, and I'll show you something else. In James chapter 4 and 7, we read these words. Listen to it. Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. An individual isn't going to flee from somebody else unless they know that person is stronger than they are and able to overcome that. And I don't know who you are or what you may be, but I'm going to tell you this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You can and you should and you must resist him. And when you do, I'll guarantee you right now, he will flee from you. Oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. No, that's right. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? Go back to Luke chapter 9. We'll show you. He gave the apostles power and authority over the devils, and he tells over demons, and he tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That means the devil cannot make you, as a believer, do his will unless you submit unto him. And as a true believer, I'm going to tell you right now, you may be caught in his trap for a moment or two, but sooner or later you're going to get out of it, and you're going to resist him more than ever before. Now why? We wrestle against him. And God has given us the power and authority to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. He gave it to the disciples. He gave them power and authority over demons. All right? Now that word power is the word from which we get our word dynamite. I've had young people, you know, they've come to me, and particularly one young man or something like that, or a girl, and they say, you know, I'm so small, and I wish I was bigger, and everything like that. And you know what I always tell them? I said, always remember one thing. Dynamite also comes in small packages. It doesn't take a lot of dynamite to blow a building. And are you listening? The Lord Jesus Christ has given us power. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's the same word, dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. And it's the same word here that is used in Luke chapter 9. He gave them dunamis, or power and authority over all demons. And then he also gave them a second credential, and that is what? And that is to heal the diseases. Oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. No. Are you listening? This church is in the healing business. Oh, now look at me. Look at me now and get it straight. This church is in the healing business. Now, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we find very clearly we are to cure diseases. Now, what diseases is this church in the business of curing? I'll tell you, three of them. It's in the business of curing the disease of sin. It's in the business of curing the disease of damnation, and it's in the business of curing the disease of distress. What are you talking about? You here without the Lord Jesus Christ are sick. You're sick with sin. Sin is the terrible cancer that is eating at your very vitals. You can't get rid of it. But bless God, through him and through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus by this church, I'll tell you right now, you can be cured of that cancer of sin through Christ. That's the disease. And people today fail to realize it. They look at an individual, you know, and because they're a philanthropist, and I was reading this morning about some of the tapes or some of the memoirs that Henry Ford II put out on tape, you know, and one of the first things I read was the filthy language that he used, and I said to myself, as far as I'm concerned, they could destroy all those tapes. I'm not interested in reading what he said, what he thought. But I am interested in reading what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Are you? Now, this church has the power to do what? By the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power, the dunamis, and we can find very clearly that you here today, you can be cured right there in your seat of the disease of sin that you're in. Did you know that? This is why God brought you here. This is why you're listening to what you're preaching today. What I'm preaching to you today. And I'll tell you right now, if you're here afflicted with the disease of sin, you're also afflicted with the disease of damnation. You're going to go to hell. And I'm going to say to you very kindly, whether you be young or old or middle-aged or elderly, hell is hot and hell is eternal. Hell is real. And I'm going to tell you right now, when an individual gets there, they can't get out. It's the sin of damnation that this church is in the business of helping to cure. And then there's also the sin of distress. Look around you today, and what do you find? People are distressed. Oh my, They have to have this psychologist and that psychologist, and they got to have this counselor and that counselor. If they would just turn to the Word of God and find out from the Word of God, that I want to tell you right now, this book will answer every problem an individual has, whether it be mental, spiritual, or physical. It's God's Word. And we find very clearly, we preach the reality of the disease. And some of you here today may be distressed at this hour, and the Lord Jesus says to you, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and that's distress. You're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And oh, how many people need that at this present hour.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.
The sun.